Time to have a chat with Quincy City Council President, Councillor at Large Nina Liang, for an update on, of course, the City Council meeting. Also, what's going on in her world. Hi, Nina.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So I was going to, spin the wheel and find out where Nina popped up this week, but there you are in your office.
I know, I let you down. Like I said, I think now the pressure's on for the next time we meet. I definitely have to do something interesting and pop up somewhere around the city.
Okay, I'll look forward to that. when is the next meeting, by the way?
It's going to be November 9th, so after the election.
After the election, okay. All right, maybe we'll find you, I don't know, at the bottom of a ballot box or something by then.
I know, I'll just be sitting next to the ballot box at that point, doing the meeting with it in the background. That would be fun.
You and Nikki Crispo just sitting there with exasperated looks on your faces.
God bless her in her office, really. I mean, this is a behemoth of the task that they're doing,
It really is, yeah. She told me that they're expecting 21,000 mail-in ballots, 75% voter turnout. So it's going to break records, according to the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah, it's exciting, but it's a huge task for them. I'm sure they're definitely going to meet, if not exceed it, but it's definitely a lot for them right now.
Sure, absolutely. So let's talk City Council news first, if we could. And I know that you're keeping up your new tradition of honoring a COVID-19 hero at every meeting. So who was it this week?
We had Michelle and everyone over at the Recreation Department. So that was really fun. I mean, honestly, it's those kinds of moments that we want to use this honoring for, right? Is to really highlight people who have been working through this pandemic to make sure that they're keeping the resources and the assets up in the city. Like, I mean, this is an incredible resource for residents in Quincy, not just for the families who were involved over the summer with these programs, but for the families who partake in it, And I think that we get so swept up in things, particularly this year with, and you and I were just talking about this, with the pandemic, with the election, there's a lot that's very front of mind for folks, but you forget that there are also, people behind the scenes making the wheels, continue to churn and provide these resources. So it was a really, really cool opportunity to be able to take a moment to pause and to honor them.
It's nice. Yeah, I know that a lot of parents were grateful to have, at least limited recreation activities over the summertime, just to be able to get out, get their kids out into some fresh air and sunshine. And they did it really successfully. I don't think they had one single case of the virus, as I believe, in the programs.
None of the recreation program. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So, I think that in and of itself, when you run it every year, you're running a program, right? And just think about all the specifics that come with that as far as the organization process goes behind it in any given year and, regular times, I guess you would call it. But they pulled it off incredibly well. And it was a huge success during the pandemic, So their capacity is just beyond what I could ever imagine. And it was really nice to be able to take that time to.
Yeah, that's nice. So you're going to keep this up at every meeting now as far
we
as-
We are, we are. Stay tuned for the next one. I'm excited. We have a couple of them lined up for the rest of this year, and we're going to continue doing them next year as well. So, yeah.
Super. Okay. Well, we started off with the Ordinance Committee. Maybe you could tell us a bit about that, because I know it's a committee of the whole, just like Finance Committee. So all the councilors serve on that.
That's correct. Yes. So the Ordinance Committee had met on one particular ordinance, which has to do around the conversation with Airbnbs. And, this is something that not just us and not just the state, but really everyone is trying to just wrap their heads around, right? Like similar to, I think a lot of what we're experiencing these days is that, as technology advances and as these new platforms come online, we as legislators locally all the way up to the federal level need to figure out how we can make sure to not regulate, but, in a sense, regulate to make sure that people are being safe and that we are offering the correct resources to these platforms and people using these platforms. And so, this was an ongoing conversation that's been happening for quite some time now. Councilor Palmucci had brought this to the council in the past, and now Councilor Phelan had brought this up in a way to really look at the big picture, right, as a whole. And so we can have this conversation not just with how we're going to regulate them and keep in mind everyone's safety and the issues that might come up here in the city with Airbnbs, but also what are some tax implications for that, right? Because essentially this is a business of some sort. And so just being able to have the conversation in its entirety, I think was really productive last night. We got an opportunity to take a look at it and have an open discussion with public input. So, we had people participating and giving commentary live last night during the public hearing portion of the committee meeting. But leading into it, we also had a lot of people emailing sending Facebook messages, Nextdoor Quincy messages to us to be able to give their input as well. So it was a really nice time last night to bring all of that information to the table and just have, you know, an informal open dialogue about what do we want to see happen here in Quincy with respect to Airbnbs and keeping in mind all the implications with anything that we do pass, right? I mean, because, you know, a couple of counselors brought up some really great points that were sort of juxtaposing each other, right? We had some people saying that in their experience with talking with constituents, you know, Airbnbs have caused quite an issue within the neighborhoods, right? As far as, you know, a number of people, I think, exceeding capacity in certain residences, you know, the parking issues in those neighborhoods. And again, you know, the safety issues in those neighborhoods. Let's say there are a number of people in a building, you know, and God forbid there's a fire or there's something that happens, you don't know who is in that unit or how many people are in that unit, you know, that becomes really dangerous. And so that's one side of it. The other side of it, which I think is important too, is that this is a lot of people's only income, you know, to sustain themselves in this city. And they're doing it in a way that is safe and they're doing it in a way that is respectful to their neighbors as well. And there are no issues, you know? And so everything we do with respect to legislating around the Airbnb in the city of Quincy, we need to make sure that we're doing it incredibly thoughtfully, you know, really well educated on the issue to make sure that we're informed on this process. And that's going to take multiple conversations. So it did not pass last night, but I was really excited to be able to, you know, get the conversation started and in a really well-rounded way.
What would be considered a short-term rental, you know, under this proposal, at least?
Anything under 31 consecutive days.
Okay. And in any neighborhood or any specific neighborhoods?
So this proposal would keep it out of residential A-zoned neighborhoods and would, you know, be strictly Res B and Res C neighborhoods. And then the sort of offshoot to that is something that we haven't been able to conclude yet is, you know, do we want to keep this restricted to primary residents, right? So the thought process behind that is that we don't want people coming to the city to purchase homes and essentially, you know, buy people out of this market to own a home as a business. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, even during the pandemic, leading up to it, certainly I think we all saw it, but even during the pandemic, you know, a lot of people are getting priced out of Quincy, you know, people who can't afford to stay here. And that's an ongoing issue. And it does not help when we then have outsiders who don't even live in Quincy, you know, don't frequent the businesses here to support the local economy. They don't have anything to do with Quincy except look at it as a cash cow to say, I'm just going to invest in properties left and right and use it as a business. It's going to price people out who want to stay here, you know, who call Quincy home and actually give to the community. So that is something we need to think about is, you know, do we want to limit it to people who have this property as a primary residence, right? People who are invested in the community, who we know are going to care for the property and care for the people who are staying there.
Yeah. Was there any sense as to how many short-term rentals there are right now in the city?
There are not. So there's currently a state list for this, and Councilor Pamucci had brought this up yesterday, which was, again, yesterday's conversation was so informative all around from the public and from my colleagues, but he had mentioned that right now, you know, the state keeps a list of addresses of where Airbnbs are registered. That I don't know if that includes like the HomeAway, for example, like some of the other platforms that offer this, I guess, offer this product, but the assistant solicitor who is putting this work together and working with us on this from the city, he's going to go back and take a look so that at the next meeting, we can have a better sense of what that number is.
Okay. So more information gathering, it sounds like, before any action is taken.
100%. And for those who are, this is why I love talking to you because, you know, now people who maybe missed it and are tuning into this, I urge all of you to please reach out to all of us and give your thoughts and your input and your advice on this, right? I mean, this is a collective effort. We want to make sure that we get as much information as possible before we move forward on anything.
Yeah. Do you feel the same way too, Nina, or are you leaning one way or another right now?
I mean, I think, again, you know, because people are, I've heard from people who actually do this, again, to be able to stay in their homes here in Quincy, right? And they're doing so in such a way that is respectful, and they're doing it in such a way that, you know, is mindful of their environment and their kids, and they're doing it in a safe way. And so I don't want to, you know, super regulate and tell them you can't do this. It's your home. You own it, right? We just want to make sure that we're going about it to protect those who maybe aren't doing it the right way. So I'm for it. I'm for, you know, continuing to have Airbnbs here in the city. I certainly, you know, from what I know thus far, wouldn't want to say no. No one can do these home share options in the city. But I just want to make sure that we are taking the right steps to protect those who are A, renting out their homes or, you know, using their homes as home shares. I want to protect them, but I also want to protect the people who live in and around those areas as well.
Okay. Very good. We'll watch that closely. Do you think it's proceeding to be voted on this year, or any sense for time?
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't think any of us want to necessarily hold ourselves to any particular timeline, because we want to, again, be thoughtful. That's what I really appreciate about my colleagues on this body, is that, you know, we want to be incredibly thoughtful about these processes, right? Whether it's with Airbnbs, appropriations, whatever comes in front of us, you know, we're going to take our time to make sure that we gather everything that we need to make an educated and informed decision on this. So, you know, to my knowledge, none of my colleagues are looking to rush this, because we want to make sure that we do it right.
Okay. So it remains an ordinance committee then?
Right now, for now. Yep.
Okay. Speaking of appropriations, there is one being requested from the administration for $5 million from the community preservation account to purchase two pieces of property. What was the discussion around that last night?
That went right into finance committee. So this is something that is an initiative from Councillor Fanlon in Ward 5, and then also from Ward 3 Councillor Ian Kane. And it's for parcels, obviously, respectively in their wards that we're looking at. You know, it's to my earlier point about people who don't live here, barely step foot in Quincy and invest in the economy here, you know, they see the attraction of investing in Quincy. And so a lot of folks are buying up properties and developing whatever they can to get the most bang for their buck. And it's important for us and important for residents to make sure that whoever's doing that is invested. And unfortunately, sometimes we get developers who are not, you know, so for those two particular parcels, you know, this is an opportunity for the city to take a piece of property that we don't want overdeveloped, that we, you know, want to make sure we protect the sort of environment in and around that area and in and around that piece of parcel. I mean, one of them is for the Beachcomber site, which, I mean, if you think about that area and then the neighborhood behind it and the flood issues that happened there, I mean, it's just, if we had somebody come in there and, God forbid, you know, dump a huge apartment complex or development on, I mean, just think about the ramifications to the neighborhood for that, right? So again, it's just, these are opportunities for us to make sure that we are protecting, you know, what the neighborhood looks like. And that's going to be further discussed in finance committee.
Okay. And the other parcel is Harriet Avenue, I know.
That's over correct.
Near Montclair. Is there anything on that site now, do you know?
Not to my knowledge, no. I should have more information about that once we get into the committee meetings.
Okay, very good. Those were the main items that I saw on the agenda. Was there anything else that we should touch on, do you think?
Yeah, I was excited to have two other discussions that happened last night, even though they weren't necessarily any, you know, ordinance slash like legislative changes or any finance requests. We had an update from Ruth, you know, who heads our health department. Sure. I just think that right now, as people are seeing the numbers spike across the nation and in the state, and we're hearing every day, you know, this city is in the red zone, this city's in the red zone, and every city continues to move into the red zone. So for those who don't know, right now, the way we're tracking things in Massachusetts is by a colored zone, right? So in the green zone, and I have the numbers here, so I wanted to get this right, is when you have less than 4 cases a day. The yellow zone is 4 to 8, and the red is over 8. And right now we have moved from the green to the yellow, but we're not in the red zone yet. But a lot of cities and towns are finding themselves in the red zone. So to have Ruth come in front of us again, and you know, early on, we had her come in front of us very frequently. She came back in front of us and gave us an update on, you know, what's been going on here in the city as far as testing goes, what's been going on with the schools, with the reopenings and the hybrid programs that the schools are doing, testing for students, testing for teachers, for families, the community organizations that are helping with that. So Manit has been an incredible partner to help with testing as well. So just to get that update and to sort of get a PSA out there about encouraging people to continue to wear masks, continue to stay, you know, 6 feet apart from those who you normally don't interact with. And just, it was a nice reminder to sort of say, where are we right now in Quincy and how are we handling and managing the uptick in numbers in surrounding cities and towns. So that was really informative and that was helpful to have her back on. And then we also had a resident in Quincy, as well as a member of the state's Asian American Commission, come on yesterday to help us formally codify in honoring of Filipino American History Month here in Quincy. The federal government had made October Filipino American History Month back in 2009, but we have not formally recognized that here in the city, so we were able to do that last night as well, and I was really excited about that. It's, you know, interesting because even though I was born and raised here, you know, there's still so much that I'm still learning today about the incredible diversity here in the city, whether it's businesses or residents. And I didn't know this, but we have the second largest Filipino American population in the entire Commonwealth, second only to Boston.
In Quincy?
In Quincy, yeah.
Interesting.
And, you know, people look and they say, yeah, like Quincy has a huge Asian population, but I think people, I mean, speaking frankly, you know, think, yes, yeah, Chinese, it's Vietnamese, right? But we have a huge Filipino population here. And when you think about the culture of those who either, you know, immigrated from the Philippines or are born and raised here, I mean, just you look and you see their contributions to this nation and specifically to the state and to the city, you know, they're not only entrepreneurs, but they're active in the community with giving back. And, you know, they're really active in the armed services as well. And so it was a really nice moment last night to be able to, you know, pause and just take a moment to honor a huge, huge population here in the city of Quincy.
Oh, was there a percentage given, Nina, as to what the population is in the city?
I don't know the numbers with respect to the 30-35% we're looking in the overall AAPI community. Okay. But I just know from the numbers as far as like an overall number of the population. Again, we're second only to Boston right now.
Wow, that's I just learned something myself too. Who was it that came to the council meeting?
Diana Kinto. She's a resident here in the city. She's got children here. She's born and raised here. Her girls are in the Girl Scouts. I mean, so again, very active members of the community. And then we also had Phil J. Solar from the state's Asian American Commission as well.
Very nice. Very nice. So you couldn't in person present any kind of certificate, but will they get something? Yeah.
Yeah. I wish, I mean, you know, a number of us on the council, obviously we would love to, even with the honoring of these COVID heroes, you know, to be able to be in person and thank them face to face for everything that they've done. It's something that we want to do. You know, we're all itching to do that. We all have seen what folks have been going through and really banding together as a community to get through this. You know, my colleagues are very eager to be able to thank people in person, you know, but we also need to be respectful of, you know, what's going on with this pandemic. And it's been really hard for us, for sure. We're all people persons, you know what I mean? So it's been really hard for us to not be able to see each other in person and to not be able to thank these folks in person too.
Sure. Did Ruth indicate, I know there was some concern when the kids went back to school, how that might impact the numbers in Quincy. Did she talk at all about how that is going now the schools are back in a hybrid model?
Yeah, she's tracking them by 2 week periods. And so she talked about the last 4 weeks. So the last sort of two chunks of 2 week periods and the numbers have been slowly going down. So we're hoping that trend will continue.
Okay. But it doesn't seem to be a problem within the school buildings.
Not knocking all the wood around me. They've been doing, look, I mean, again, it's a collective effort of so many people who make sure that, you know, the kids and then respectively who are around those kids when they go back home. Are being safe, you know, and that they are protected, but our teachers as well and all the faculty, you know, they really have a huge task in front of them as well. So again, it's a huge collective effort of people to make sure that everyone is safe.
Yeah. Curious. I know that the state ban on evictions expired this past weekend. There's still a federal ban, I think, in place through the end of the year. But was there any indication as to the city might step in again to help with rental assistance? I know in the springtime it did that.
Yeah, I know that we're looking, so not specifically around that, but I know we had talked a little bit last night about the businesses as well and what we can provide as far as assistance goes for that. And so, for example, one of the things that the administration had done is waive the liquor license fees for a lot of the restaurants and small businesses. And so there's still a lot of work. That's only one, you know, I don't want to say small because it's incredibly significant, right? But I mean that it's just one thing that came out and it's because like the wheels are constantly turning to see what can we continue to do? You know, we obviously as a city need to sustain ourselves and the departments and the services we have, we need to also make sure that our residents and our businesses are being protected as well. And so again, this is a huge collective like groupthink effort of people trying to figure out what can we do, whether it's something as small as, again, not small, but you know what I mean? It's something like waiving a license fee or helping with evictions or helping with landlords, whatever it may be, where, you know, the wheels are constantly spinning to see what we can do.
Sure. Alrighty, folks, if they have questions or need to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Oh, so they can email me, nliang@quincyma.gov or nina@ninaliang.org, or they can call or text me at 617-657-9837 and go on Twitter, Facebook, whichever way works for folks. I am there.
Okay. Anything else, Nina?
Remember to go vote. Early voting. How did we not talk about this, Joe? Oh my goodness. We're both like frying.
We've been bombarded by it. That's why. Yes, early voting is underway.
Yes. Yay. No, we started early voting this last Saturday. So on the weekends, it's at North Quincy High School. And then during the week, it's at City Hall. For those who want to for those who are voting by mail and have their ballots but don't feel comfortable mailing them, they can go to City Hall and drop them into that drop box. I will caution folks to go only there to drop off your ballots. If you see a ballot drop-off box, or if you get a notification for a ballot drop-off box that's anywhere other than City Hall, don't do it, because Right. It's not us, you know. But yeah, no, we're only 2 weeks, 2 weeks away.
2 weeks from today, actually. Yes, that's right.
Get out and vote. Get out and vote. Get out and vote.
And the census is over. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
No, but you know, I hope that people who generally in the past maybe didn't fill it out, or for whatever reason, you know, didn't know about it, I'm really excited to see what the results are this year. And I think that, again, this was an incredible effort by, you know, obviously Nikki and the folks over at City Hall, but a number of community organizations over the last year and a half, 2 years have worked tirelessly to get the word out. You know, the volunteers that we've had across the city to actually physically go out and help with this, I just want to give them a huge shout out and a huge thank you, because it was really neat this year to see how many people were volunteering their time to make sure that everyone gets counted.
Yeah, according to Representative Chan, about almost 70% of Quincy residents responded.
We'll get to 100 one day. I am hopeful.
Hopefully. Yeah, it was almost 100 statewide. And Quincy was on the higher end of most communities. So that's good news.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, you have to think about, right, the fact that everyone is doing this important work during a pandemic where literally everyone is just trying to figure it out as we go, you know? So it's kind of depressing sometimes to think, wow, we have to operate with this in front of us, a pandemic in front of us. But, you know, the positive side to that is that people are doing it, you know, and people are coming out in waves and helping and supporting each other with this effort. And so this effort with voting, whatever it may be. So yeah, we just have to hold on to that, stay positive and keep up the fight, you know.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Nina. It's always good to talk to you. I really appreciate it.
You too. I will find somewhere new and creative to be for our next call.
Okay. I can't wait. I look forward to it.
Sounds good. Well, I'll see you after the election, I guess. And yeah, hopefully by then, when I see you after the election, we'll know the results. I mean, who knows, right?
Yes. Well, nobody knows. That's exactly right. That's the excitement of it, I guess, right? Nobody knows.
Yeah, right. Get your popcorn out.
Thanks, Nina.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.